Hello everyone and welcome to a very special edition of Diving In with Josh. I am your host Josh and this is the wrestling podcast, not about wrestling but about pro wrestling fans' lives outside of the wacky world of wrestling. And today I have someone that I think I've talked to a few times. I think it's pretty safe to say that I've talked to this guy just a couple of times. You're going to see the title, you're going to see who's on the show. It is my best podcasting friend in this lovely world, the co-host of Wrestling Reverb. I've got one Mr. Kevin Carroll. Kevin, thank you for being here on Diving In. How are you doing this fine day?
Oh, I'm doing great, Josh. Thank you for having me. I've loved the show so far, and I'm just looking forward to being a part of it.
Yeah, of course I was going to have you on and chat with you at some point for this show. Of course, I had you in mind. We chat about wrestling every single week, multiple times a week. It'll be good to chat about something different with you because we do chat about wrestling a lot. We love it. You love wrestling. So, of course, this is the wrestling podcast, not about wrestling, but your brief background in wrestling and what kind of draws you to it before we start talking about other things.
So, my background in wrestling, I started watching wrestling when I was around 9 years old, 2006. I was instantly drawn to Rey Mysterio. He was my guy. I liked the mask. I liked the colorful pants, how quick he was in the ring, how agile he was. The 619, when I saw it for the first time, I couldn't believe my eyes. I was like, wow, that is the coolest thing I've ever seen. Other guys like Batista and Cena and, you know, I hated King Booker, but like all these larger than life characters, you know, these huge guys just out there doing crazy things in the ring, that really spoke to me. It was like superheroes in a way.
Yeah, it is. I think as a kid, that's what kind of draws us all to it. It is, they say it often, but it is larger than life. But of course there's, no matter how much we love wrestling as much as we do, there's, of course, other loves, other interests. And today on Diving In, it's going to not be one specific thing. We're just going to kind of dive into who Kevin is as a person, I guess. As a kid, you said you didn't start watching wrestling till about 9 or 10. What kind of stuff were you into when you were a kid pre-wrestling?
Yeah, I mean, I was like most kids, I think. I was into, sports. I was into reading. I read a lot. I love books. And I was into writing. I started writing at a young age. And from the time I was, I don't know how old I was when I really started to work on it. But I have been grinding at it and, you know, perfecting my craft, so to speak, for the better part of like 15 years.
That's crazy that, you know, it's as a kid, you always have interests and passions of, I want to do this, I want to do this. And for someone to actually stick to that from a young age and, you know, growing up is cool to see because not everyone sticks to what they're doing. What draws you to writing and even just reading in general? What kind of draws you into that?
Just the having the ability to immerse oneself in a story. And that's what I like about reading is that, you know, there's so many stories out there that are waiting to be told. And I just, you know, I go to the library like once or twice every 2 weeks, pick up a couple books and just find, I get to meet new characters and new stories and new situations. And I think that part of me likes to write because I could see myself being one of those books someone picks up off a shelf someday.
Yeah. You know, when people talk, like a lot of people will not roll their eyes, but hearing someone going, oh, I like to read. Why do you think there's such a stigma almost as you go out of school that reading is just not something that is perceived cool?
I think it's just because with all the different mediums of communication we have now, you know, with cell phones and television, radio, podcasting, to use a current example. Yeah. I think that reading has sort of just become like a bit of a lost art. Like people just don't have the time. And I think reading has made somewhat of a resurgence in that, like, you don't really get, I mean, I don't really get insulted by people for reading, but
yeah.
It's definitely not, like, it's more so when people ask me about reading, and I tell them how much I read, they just say they don't have time or they don't have the energy. They just don't have the time to invest into a story.
Yeah, I understand that. People are very much like that. If I read, it's autobiographies. I'll read a story about someone in that respect. But to say I've read an actual book about, you know, characters and stuff like that in that regard, I haven't read in since school. It has been since school since I've done it. And again, it's for the excuse of I just, my time is dedicated to other things and I don't have the quote-unquote time, I guess, to read. But when it comes to writing, where did you kind of begin with that? Because it's not just something as a kid you're like, I'm just going to write and then see where it leads. It's more so you have to have some kind of a vision when you write anything.
When I was younger, I remember writing, my brother used to write a little bit too. And he used to write these silly stories about, you know, it was always like a battle between two random things and like the ultimate quest to see who survives. But it was like, you know, it was like McDonald's items versus Burger King items. It was light colors versus dark colors. And he made them people. You know, he embodied these like odd things, these like everyday objects. He embodied them and brought them to life and they would fight. And I thought that was the funniest thing in the whole world when I was growing up. But I thought I could do that too. So I sort of picked up the mantle at some point and started doing stuff like that. And I realized that I really liked putting pen to paper. And I really liked writing and creating these larger than these outrageous, outlandish characters that just jump off the page at you.
Yeah, you know, for anyone that isn't familiar with Kevin or Kevin's writing, he does a lot of wrestling blogs and stuff for various different sites. But it sounds to me, and I don't know a lot about this in depth, but it sounds to me you do like creating something out of nothing, which is something that I can relate to in a lot. I do like, in terms of what I do here, like podcasting, it's something out of nothing and expanding it. That is writing in an essence. It's creating something that isn't there. It's in your mind. Do you prefer to write, you know, fiction, non-fiction? What's your kind of deal? Do you prefer to write something from nothing, or do you prefer to attack something like a blog?
I prefer fiction to non-fiction. I'll go out and I will read a non-fiction book, of course. It's just, I prefer making up my own stories to you know, writing someone else's story.
Yeah, that's fair. Again, creating something from literally nothing. What's the, as a kid, as you are at this age now, what's the goal that you want to get out of writing?
I want to make it my life. I want to make it a job, a career. I want to write a book someday. I want to be an author.
That's cool. That's cool to have that. It's good to see, like, as soon as I ask that question that you are prepared to answer, because I feel like in some respects, if I ask that question and you almost didn't have an answer, it's like, do you really have a vision for this? I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing not to have it, but you seem very prepared and be like, this is what I really want to do. When we talk about blogging and writing for different wrestling sites and stuff like that, how did that come about?
Okay, so with the blog, I started this blog, Last Blogger Standing, in October of last year. I had been going through a pretty rough time, and I needed a way to sort of cope with everything that was happening around me. And I'd always loved wrestling, and I'd always loved writing, and, you know, one day I just decided, why don't I combine my two loves and do something where I could be productive with my time? So I started the blog. I didn't expect it to be that much. I didn't expect to really put my all into it. At the time, I was feeling rather badly, so I expected nothing more than just like a a small thing from this, but to see how far it's grown and how many, you know, how many people are actually reading my stuff and tuning in to see what I'm writing is overwhelming, and I just love it. As for the other stuff, I write for the Chair Shot, and I write for Diva Dirt, and those came about via Twitter, really. Like I knew I wanted to write as much as I can about wrestling to try to make it into something that I could do full time. I haven't gotten quite close to that yet, but I saw ads for websites that needed writers, that needed wrestling writers, and I thought that, for one, the Chair Shot, I do largely opinion-based stuff. I think that's the most fun you could have as a writer for really anything, is the opinion editorial side of it, where it's your thoughts and what you think about something. It's not, you know, it's not like someone else's idea that you're just scribbling down. And for Diva Dirt, I thought it was a unique challenge because, I love women's wrestling, but I love it more now, I think, than I did 6 months ago. But I remember seeing it as a unique challenge that, you know, I need to get into this whole world of wrestling that I didn't even know was really there with all the independent women's wrestling there is. And I really, I dove into that, and I've grown to love that. It's become a part of me.
Yeah, that's a good thing. It seems like writing has led you to other avenues, which is cool to see. Take a step back with going through school, growing up. Was writing something that you valued at school? Was school something that encouraged that side of you, or was it more so something that you had to seek out?
It's funny. I have a story. From like first through even kindergarten through like fourth grade, I would be the kid who was writing during class. I would be the kid who was scribbling and doodling and coming up with stuff while class was going on. And my first couple of teachers wanted me more to – they were more of the mindset of I should be paying attention to what they were doing and I should put the writing aside for later. I didn't take too kindly to that because I really – I was one of those kids growing up that was in the gifted programs in my school. So I knew what was being taught before they even got to teach it.
Yep.
So I naturally, when you're learning, when you're listening to your teacher teach something that you've learned already, you're not going to be that interested. And so I put my energy into writing. When I got to fifth grade, I was doing the same sort of things, just, you know, writing during math class, writing during reading class. I already knew all about what was going on. And my teacher noticed, and instead of telling me to put it aside, she encouraged me. And she told me that she was going to set aside an hour a day where I could skip the lesson, go over to the computer, and write. And I started writing. I remember what I wrote for her was this. It was very much beyond my age. I was 10 years old at the time, but I was writing this horror story about a haunted hotel floor and all the and stuff like that. And I remember showing it to her, and she could have been very mortified by what she was reading, but instead she looked at me and said, "Kevin, you're going to be a writer." And from then on, that's all I've dreamt about is being a writer. She instilled that confidence in me that this is something that's okay and not something that should be put aside.
Yeah, well, that kind of brings up a topic that I didn't even think we would talk about today, but. And I guess that's kind of the importance of a teacher. I think they're very undervalued, or they're very important in a child's life because we're spending 5 days a week at school and, you know, you're seeing this teacher every single day, essentially. So if that teacher there would have read that and been like, you know, this is stupid or this is too intense for your age or, you know, stop doing this, what would have changed? Would your path have changed? Because I think a teacher's encouragement, as much as kids don't want to admit it, and I mean, we probably didn't want to admit it when we were at school, we see it now that we're out of school. Teachers are role models. We look up to teachers and we value their opinions as much as they irritated us when we were at school. But when I ask you what's the importance of a teacher, what kind of comes to your brain?
they are the most important, arguably the most important people in a child's life, obviously, other than their mother and father.
Yeah.
They're like your sitter for 6 to 7 hours a day. When you're growing up, they spend almost more time with you than your family does.
Yeah.
And I think that them nurturing your goals and not being stifling is the difference between a good teacher and a bad teacher. I've had good teachers, I've had bad teachers, I've had teachers in the middle. Yeah. But those best teachers, like my fifth grade teacher, Mrs. Petrillo, God love her, she understood what it is I wanted to do, and she catered to that rather than to sort of shut me down. God knows because I had been hearing for years that it wasn't something I should be doing right now. I shouldn't be writing. I should be focusing on my lessons. Yeah, if I got the same response, I mean, I was becoming a young adult. I was 10 going on 11 years old. I had reached the double digits, and that may have set me on a completely different path. I may not be where I am today if it weren't for my fifth grade teacher.
Yeah, teachers are very and like you said, I've had bad teachers, I've had good teachers, I've had teachers in the middle. I was always told at school, I was always really good at performing arts, like music, drama class, all of that kind of stuff. I was good at that at school. So I was always told by those teachers, you need to be something within, you need to be a person that's entertaining in some kind of aspect. Other than that, I wasn't really that. I liked school. I liked, like, younger self liked school. But as I grew older, I started to, I think every teenager goes through that stage where they hate school, where it's just like, I'm not feeling this. I don't want to be at school. But I was always told about that at school. And it seems like you had the writing kind of side installed in you from a young age, which is good because it's led you to where you are now. What is going on now for you with writing? Are you actively working on getting towards your goal, or is it kind of taking a back seat to things? What's going on with the world of writing for you at the moment?
Well, right now, you may have noticed I haven't been able to be blogging as much as I want because I'm trying to look for steadier work as a writer. I've been applying to jobs like crazy, just looking for an opening because I want this to be a career. I don't want this to be like a hobby or a passing fancy. I want this to be what I do. So right now, yeah, I haven't been blogging as much. I've definitely amped up my work at Diva Dirt and The Chair Shot. I've definitely amped up my work for, you know, just keeping my craft sharp, keeping myself sharp, in order to, you know, if I get a job in the field, I could really, really expand myself and, you know, from take one step at a time, and hopefully I could get somewhere where I'm happy.
Yeah, I think everyone wants that in a job. They want to be essentially paid for something they love to do. I think we all want that in our life, I guess.
Yeah.
Writing for you, is it, you know, we've talked before about stuff with mental health and stuff like that, and I'm not going to get into that today, but does writing help you with that kind of stuff?
Oh my God, more than anyone could ever even imagine. When I was going through my depression, my anxiety, I went a long time without writing, and I just lost the passion, lost the knack for it, and it really, really, it sucked, because that was always the way I expressed myself, was through writing. I expressed my feelings when I was feeling down, I wrote. When I was feeling happy, I wrote. And honestly, going without it, I wish I could have changed it, but I was so stuck in my situation and my, you know, my own mental problems that I couldn't even fathom picking up a pen or picking up the typewriter, the keyboard, and going to and just putting in the work. So luckily, after X amount of months, I finally realized that I needed to start writing. I didn't really give myself a choice. I told myself, this is how you're going to get better,
yeah,
is by writing. You're going to write your feelings and you're going to get them out, and it's going to feel really great. sharing them with somebody that's not me. That's where I got the idea for my mental health blogs, was that A, it feels really good to talk about stuff with other people. It may not seem like it, and I know I have problems talking to my own folks about how I'm doing some of the time, but it's just a lot easier for me to write it out than to say it.
Yeah.
You know, writing is a form of communication too. Like, don't let yourself get badgered down because you don't talk to people if you prefer to do it another way. Some people just aren't – it's really, really hard to talk about mental health in today's society.
Oh, yeah.
And if God love you, if you have a way to do it, if you write it, you share it, I think that's just as good.
Yeah, I agree. Writing is a form of communication. It's getting it off of you in any way, shape, or form. As long as it's, you know, escaping your body, I always have kind of said that, especially in the last couple of years. Writing is, I guess, in a short sense, it's an escape. For you, at least. It works for you, and that's all that really kind of matters. But, you know, diving off of writing for a little bit, what's going on with what's some other loves? You know, we talk about wrestling all the time. We know what you love in wrestling. We know what you love about wrestling and how it is one of both of our main loves. What else do you love as a kid or even now? What's some things that you would use other than writing, other than wrestling, as a bit of an escape? Were you a sporty kid? Were you into video games, movies? What was your kind of deal with that?
Oh, all of the above, honestly. I love sports. I played – when I was younger, I played baseball, basketball, and soccer. I still play basketball routinely to this day just to keep in some semblance of shape. I played softball every now and again too. I love music. Music has been a really, really helpful thing for me. I think most people would say that. I think a lot of people could testify to that.
Yes.
But I definitely use music as a way to escape. I love movies too. Movies are great. Television's great. As long as you don't get yourself stuck in your own thoughts, if they're negative, anything could really be an escape. I take the dog for a walk. That's an escape for me.
Yeah, it is for me too. I live on my own, but I have my two pets, my cat and my dog, and that is like, some people are like, you just sit around with your animals. It's like, yeah, because I can just talk to them and it doesn't even matter. But music is, everyone can relate to, there's so many different flavors of music that you're going to find something that you like. There's no way you dislike music. I think every human being likes music of some kind. Music you can relate to in so many ways. What's your kind of favorite kind of music? Who's your favorite bands, artists? What do you like?
I'm all over the. I know, and this is like a common answer. I think a lot of people are like, I like all music.
Oh, me too. I'm the same.
I really do enjoy pretty much any genre of music. I grew up listening to my father's music. You know, the Rolling Stones, the Beatles. My favorite band of all time is AC/DC.
I'm gonna like that. You know what I mean, that's brownie points with me. What about like as a teenager? Because I mean, we all had that time when we went through our parents' phase of music, and there's always going to be a time where you rebel against your parents and be like, I'm not doing what you're doing. Was there that time as a teenager or as growing up that you were like, I'm going to listen to the cool stuff?
I mean, there was a point where I found myself listening to more hip-hop and rap.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say I like completely dove away from the other stuff because I was never that kid. I always enjoyed the classics.
Yeah.
And I was also never the kid who, you know, was ashamed to admit what he's listening to.
Me,
I listened to the radio. I listened to Disney Channel songs. Like, yeah, you know that.
Yeah, me too.
I've tweeted numerous times about High School Musical. I have no shame in that whatsoever.
Me either.
But, yeah, there was definitely a point in time where I was like, I got to start listening to some more stuff that my friends listen to in order to keep up. So the hip-hop and the rap and stuff like that, and I still like that stuff to this day. I'm glad I had that phase because it's there's a lot of really great hip hop and rap artists out there.
Yeah, there is. I went through. I think as I've gotten a little bit older, I've kind of come back into this is what my mum listened to. This is what my dad listened to. A lot of older stuff, the classics, I guess. I love like 80s new wave music, like that kind of, or like even like 80s glam rock. I'll listen to some of that, hell yeah. Then I love 90s music because, hey, I'm a 90s kid. But like early 2000 generic pop music, like Christina Aguilera. Fuck yeah, sign me up for that. You know what I mean? Like anything you'd hear on those compilation CDs, like Beyonce and all of that. Hell yeah, I'll listen to that all day. Kelly Clarkson, sign me up for some Kelly Clarkson. I'm like you, I have no shame in... I don't really have a lot of shame as a person. It's pretty hard to embarrass me. But yeah, like High School Musical, Disney Channel stuff. I listen to all of that. Yeah, I don't really have any shame of that. Music is... I don't know why... There's always going to be a stigma with just some people, just like, how can you listen to that kind of music? How can you listen to this kind of music? I just think music is probably the funnest thing that you can kind of immerse yourself in, because there's, like I said, there's so many different kinds of music. There's something for everybody, but I just like putting something on shuffle and just listen to all different kinds, because music can attract so many emotions, because there's no really one way to relate to a song or to an artist. There's no way to tell how to relate to that piece of music. Everyone has their own kind of experience. What's some of your favorite... We talk about music. Let's talk about movies. Let's talk about TV shows. Favorite movies as a kid?
As a kid? Ooh.
Or even now, just favorite movies in general.
Because, you know, as you get older, your tastes evolve. And you get to... You also are introduced to a whole bunch of movies that you weren't able to watch as a kid.
Yeah.
As far as kids' movies go, I love The Sandlot.
That's a good movie.
Most sports themed movies I enjoy. That's a trend. So I'll try to stay away from those and try to think of other ones. When I was a kid, I really loved the movie Snow Day. If you know that one.
Yes, I know what that movie is. Holy crap.
Yeah, loved that one. Had that on the old VHS.
Oh boy.
I love that movie. Nowadays, my favorite movie of all time is The Departed. I don't know if you've heard of it.
I haven't. What is it about?
It's this movie. It's a Martin Scorsese movie. It's set in Boston. It's got Leonardo DiCaprio, Matt Damon, Mark Wahlberg, big cast, you know, Alec Baldwin, Jack Nicholson.
Damn.
And it's just about the Irish mob in Boston, and how this one cop infiltrates the mob, only to find out that the mob has infiltrated the FBI. And so it's literally just a race to find out who gets caught first. And it's funny, it's intense, it's very, very violent, but it's a whole lot of fun to watch.
As you grow up, you get into different kinds of comedy, drama, horror, whatever you kind of like. As a kid, I was always... My favorite movie to this day is Toy Story 2. I love that movie.
Toy Story 2,
The second one is better than the first one. Don't at me for that. The second one is better.
That's a take. I don't hate that take. I love Toy Story 3. That's my favorite one.
Really? Toy Story 3? Damn.
Yeah.
I mean, that's good.
That may have been the last time I cried watching a movie.
That movie is sad. That movie is so sad. Spoiler alert for anyone that hasn't watched it since like it came out in like 2010. But that bit where they're in
they're going to the incinerator and they're holding
me. I watched that movie in the cinema. That ruined. Like, oh my god. And just the ending of that movie when he gives the toys to the girl and he's like, and it's like,
it gets the waterworks flowing.
Oh yeah, that movie can. But Toy Story 2 was always my favorite. As I grew up, my second favorite movie, I guess you'd say, that isn't Toy Story 2, is The Heat with Sandra Bullock and Melissa McCarthy. I don't know if you've watched that.
Okay.
It's a great...
I've never seen it, but I've heard of it.
It's a great movie. Very just brash humor, and I like that kind of humor. And I love Sandra Bullock. I don't know. I love all of Sandra Bullock's movies. Like, I love The Blind Side. The Blind Side is a fantastic
great movie.
Yeah, That can tug on the heartstrings as well. I don't mind crying in a movie. I don't know. There's something about it that's like, that movie made me cry, so therefore it was good. I don't know. I'm not a big movie guy, though. I'm more of a... I'll happily watch 16 episodes in a television series before I watch a movie. TV series now as a kid, what are you kind of feeling?
So I have my Mount Rushmore of TV shows.
Bring it on. Let's go.
And there's no, I'll save my favorite for last. There's no real particular order to these, but I'll save my favorite for last. It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia.
That's good.
24.
24? Boom, boom.
Love 24. Friday Night Lights.
Good.
And finally, my favorite TV show of all time, How I Met Your Mother.
How I Met Your Mother. I've watched that. Okay. Again, spoiler alert. Let's talk about How I Met Your Mother here, because were you pissed off at the ending?
For a while, I was. I've grown to accept it, but it wasn't the ending I wanted, because in that last season, I absolutely fell in love with the mother.
Me too. I thought that was my problem.
Such a great character. The actress that played her, Kristen Milioti, is just fantastic. I had a huge crush on her. And then they just sort of undid it in that last episode. They just undid sort of everything that they'd been building for. The same thing with Robin and Barney. Like, they, you know, you had all this great character development through 8 seasons, and they just sort of threw it out the window.
Yeah, no joke. They really took a bold move, because I know a lot of people were angry about that ending. Me included. I was fairly angry at that ending. I'm like, really? This is the end of that whole series that we watched, what, 8 seasons? 9 seasons for?
9 seasons.
9 seasons, and, I mean, I don't know. How would have you ended that? If you were writing for that show, would you have kept the mother there? Would you have, I don't know.
Here's the thing. You know where I would have ended it? I would have kept, like, the first half of the episode the same, maybe, like, the first quarter of it.
Yeah.
You know the moment where Ted finally bumps into the mother at the train station?
Yeah.
That's where I would have ended it. Huh. That would have been the end of the show. That's how he met your mother. And that's literally the end of it.
Let him ride off into the sunset kind of deal. Huh. I mean, I just think, I don't know. It doesn't take away from the fact that it was I like the show. I don't love How I Met Your Mother, but I like it. I'm more of a, as you know, I'm Parks and Rec, Friends, I'm those.
Yeah, you're Veep, that guy.
I'm Veep. I love Veep. Have you ever watched Veep?
I've never watched it, but I've heard really good things about it.
It's very good. Julia Louis-Dreyfus, I always botch her name, so I'm sorry if you're listening to this, Julia. I always stuff up her name. But anyway, it's a very, very, very good show. It's intense. There's a lot of intense swearing in that show. There's a lot of C-word drops and stuff. So if you can handle some swearing, you can handle Veep. But it's a very...
The C-word is sharp.
See, in Australia, the C-word is not as intense as I think it is in the States. I don't think it's something you guys just say in the States. We say it every other word.
Oh, my God. Yeah, no, we are definitely... And this is maybe just me, and it's kind of funny because I have a bit of a potty mouth.
Me too.
But with that word, I'm always like, ooh, I don't want to say that.
You'll never hear me say that word on a podcast or in a video, because I know how... I understand the offense behind it. But... Man, if you met me as a person, everyone in my family, everyone around me, I think it's just a very Australian thing to say that word, and it doesn't really have much meaning. We call our friends that. That's what our friends are called. Like, we call them the C word. It is just a thing. But yeah, there is a lot of that in Veep. What are you feeling at the moment? Anything on Netflix? Anything you're watching on television? What's that? Well, television is so underrated thing now. No one watches TV anymore, really.
I know. It's so much easier just to pop on Netflix. Yeah. God, it's tough. I haven't been able to buy into... I've watched shows, but I haven't been able to buy into one the way I bought into How I Met Your Mother. I mean, Friday Night Lights I actually watched recently, and I fell in love with that. Not at the same level, but I definitely love that show, and it's on my Mount Rushmore.
Yeah.
Arrested Development, which I got turned on to,
good show,
is a really funny show.
Yeah. Clever. It's a very clever put-together show. It's not just like a traditional comedy. why those are good. I like stuff that's a little bit off the wall, like Parks and Rec and Veep. It's not concrete joke. What makes a good comedy is when it's not just that. It's not just looking for a laugh. It's clever, and there's still a story, because it's very easy with a comedy just to make you laugh and not really have any depth. I think that's a problem with a lot of today's.
There are plenty of those, yeah.
Yeah. Have you, like, do you get into shows that maybe hit a little close to home with things like 13 Reasons Why, or even things like related to wrestling, like Glow and stuff on Netflix? I've been really into those shows. Have you caught those?
I loved Glow. Glow was a favorite of mine. I think it's a really great look at the wrestling business.
Yeah.
In 13 a very Reasons different Why. Way. Yeah, you get to see it in such a different way. You're right. 13 Reasons Why I never watched.
Oh, I love 13 Reasons Why. People have their opinions on some of the stuff because it is quite graphic, but it's real to me. That is a real life kind of show, very relatable in a lot of ways. A lot of people love it. A lot of people think it's too intense. I don't find it too intense. People get very... Listen, the world is a very easily offended place, let's be honest, but people can't take things when they're right in their face sometimes. But yeah, 13 Reasons Why is great. But as we kind of, you know, simmering out of things, what's going on in the world of Kevin at the moment? Because obviously you do this podcasting stuff. Is podcasting something you look at and go, I would like to do this for a long time? Is it more writing-based? What's going on with you right now?
Well, I'll always be loyal to the writing game. I do love it. I love this, though. I never would have thought that I'd love podcasting the way I do. I always thought it was something that, like, you know, I might do guest spots on, but I never thought I'd have, like, you know, a show to do with you. And you changed my life in a way. You, honestly, like, I never... That never occurred to me. I felt great after I did our Rumble show, the first show.
Yeah.
I felt terrific. I thought that was really well done. But I never imagined I'd be hearing from you the next day saying, you know, would you like to be my co-host? That blew me away. And I loved it. And I loved doing it. And I really want to continue doing it for a long time, which I never thought I'd say.
Yeah, because especially, listen, a writer and... You know, usually, like you said, writing is an escape for you. You feel like it's easier for you to write than to talk. And on the contrary, you're very natural at talking. You know, it is quite unnatural to talk into a microphone or to talk and you know that it's going somewhere. I know for me, when I started, that never occurred to me because I can talk. And I've always, like, as I mentioned before, I was always told by teachers and other kids at school, like, you are going to do something within the entertainment world in some kind of respect. And I guess this is my avenue. And I didn't even really occur to me that I'd ever do a podcast. But I guess in that respect, they're somewhat right. It's just combining my love of wrestling and podcasting. And now that I've gotten comfortable with podcasting, it's made me do stuff like this and talk about other things.
Yeah, you're bitching.
Yeah. Who knows where it will lead to. I have a kind of, I'm like you in regards to writing. I'd love for this to become a job. The likelihood of it is, hey, it's probably not going to happen, but I ain't going to stop doing it. I ain't going to stop aspiring to that goal because it can happen. It's just harder. But if you could say one kind of, in a brief kind of sentence, if there was one dream job for you, in writing, in whatever, what would it be?
Well, it's like, I guess it's not really a job per se, but I want to be a published author.
Yep.
That's my end game, being topical.
I've never watched Avengers.
Didn't see that movie.
Nope.
But, yeah, no, that's like my goal. I'd love to write for, you know, the New York Times or Sports Illustrated or something like that. Those are my dreams I established a long time ago.
Yeah.
And as, you know, I get older and I see the way that things are going, I'm more open to other things. Like, I remember there was a point in time where, like, that was it. Like, that's what I wanted to do. But I'm just, as long as I have my writing, as long as I could parlay that into my everyday life, I'm okay.
Well, that's good. That's a good thing, because you don't want to suck the fun out of anything either. Of course, I'm sure there's challenges within writing, as I have challenges in this. But I guess the end goal is always to enjoy what you're doing. Otherwise, I'm not going to do it anymore if I'm not enjoying it.
Yeah, absolutely. If it's not fun, then, well, you know, you got to have fun with what you're doing, or else you'll go crazy.
Yeah, exactly. 100%. Well, that will kind of do us for this week on Diving In with Josh. I want to thank you, Kevin, for joining me. We knew we'd do this at some point, and we will do this multiple times again, I'm sure. We have many, 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 many things that we could really dive in on. But for anyone trying to look for your blogs or look for you on Twitter or wherever we can find you, where can we find you?
Okie dokie. So let me put myself over here. Yes. You could find me on Twitter. You can find me on two different Twitters, actually. You can find me at KevinCarroll72, or you can find me at KevinCWrestling. That one's my wrestling account. KevinCarroll72 is my personal account. I'm more irreverent on that one. I just sort of tweet, like, random things. I enjoy Twitter a lot, so I am active on Twitter. You can find my blogs at The Last Blogger Standing. All one. .wordpress.com. You know, check every couple of days or so. I always post my links to Twitter if I post something new. So definitely follow me on Twitter if you want to know what's going on. I wrote a blog today about Joey Janela and Soda. That actually was. I actually just set up my own record for the most views I got on the blog in a day.
Damn.
Blew it out of the water.
Well,
thank you.
That's a
it's
good thing.
Crazy. It blew up, and I didn't expect it to, because it was like such a silly satirical post.
I seen that, and I was like, oh, man. I was like,
yeah.
For one,
I made some people mad.
Yeah,
I made some people
that.
Very mad.
Hey, I'm on your team. Dr. Pepper sucks. We don't even.
Thank
it's not even a standard line in this country, because it sucks. So
good.
Let's just.
That's what I like to hear.
I have one of my best friends loves Dr. Pepper, and he can never get it around here. And I'm like, that's because it stinks.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm a Sprite guy. I'm a lemonade kind of guy, so I'll drink that. But we are going to agree. Aren't going to agree on this, because I don't call it soda. It's called soft drink. That's what we call it. It's soft drink.
Okay. You know.
You're on my show now, Kevin. You're in my land.
That's true. I won't say anything. Soft drink it is.
All right, Kev. I want to thank you again for coming on. And like I said, we will chat. Well, we're going to chat many times again, because we chat every week over on Wrestling Reverb. So make sure you go to Brainbuster Radio to listen to Wrestling Reverb. Follow me on Twitter, Josh Robinson 00. Find me mainly Josh Robinson 00, YouTube, Twitch, Josh Robinson Host on Instagram. Make sure you follow those accounts. I'm doing many different things. And yeah, I'll talk to Kevin every single week on Wrestling Reverb, and we'll have him back here on Diving In with Josh. Peace out, everyone. We'll catch you guys next time.